Technorama episode 339 for April 4th, 2012. Episode not found.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I click on the show notes link and I just cannot find it. Where can I find some stuff?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for April Fool's 2012. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're returning your listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Man, I couldn't be better.
You could. I'm sure you could.
I don't know. I feel like I can't be.
You know, 10 pounds lighter.
10 pounds lighter.
50 pounds stronger.
Yeah, maybe. But I tell you, I feel pretty good today. Because, well, it started off, you know, today we're recording this on April Fool's, right?
Yes, we are.
There's a lot of April Fool's stuff, so you know what I decided to do? I unplugged and took Harrison out for a hike today.
Good for you. It was a nice day.
Well, you know, April Fool's jokes. I love them at first, then by midday you're like, oh, another. But... you know, anyway, got some good ones, though.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. And we'll talk about those in a little bit. We were going to have an earlier recording and release it on April Fool's. However...
Wait a minute. Why are you telling everybody that?
Because this is not it.
Okay.
Our April Fool's was, in fact, an April Fool's.
Yeah, joke's on you.
We are saving that content. It's like Doctor Who. You never know where that TARDIS is going to land. So keep your eye out for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We still have those show notes ready to pull the trigger at a moment's notice.
That's right.
So for now, you get this. And this is in the similar vein, but we thought we'd try something different. Craig's got his brown bottle at his side, as do I.
Yes, I'm drinking a Shock Top raspberry wheat. Right. Normally, I don't go for the flavored beers, but... it had wheat in the title, so I'm good with that.
I have a Sam Adams Whitewater IPA, and it's cloudy like a wheat. I don't know if it actually is a wheat. But anyway, this is not a beer cast. Julie should be getting us started on one of those. Speaking of Julie's beer cast, she was home this weekend introducing her boyfriend to the family. And, you know, between this, she still had to get some schoolwork done. So she had a Skype meeting with some of her friends. And she called it an engineering meeting. But what I overheard was... blah, 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 blah. If we change the temperature, will the flavor change? Blah, 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 blah. Lauder ton. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This sounds like... I said, what are you making, Julie? And she said, beer. 18 years old, and her chemistry major is paying off already.
Yeah. Would you say she can go work for... maybe she can get an internship at Sam Adams?
Absolutely. I wouldn't complain.
I don't know. You ever heard the commercials for, what's his name, from Sam Adams?
Did you get an employee discount?
No. You ever heard, what's his name? Sam Adams.
Is his name Sam Adams?
No, what's the guy that runs the, hold on a second. My mind's blank. Anyway, every time I hear a commercial from him, he always sounds like he's a raging alcoholic. Because he's always like, well, you know, in the morning I have a beer. And he's talking about how great they taste and this, that, and other, and. Yeah, I'm with him, but it just sounds like he enjoys it way too much.
Did you play any April Fools on anybody?
Sort of. I actually got Harrison right at the end of the night, but it was more like a scare than anything. I was putting him into bed, and I turned off the light, and I actually snuck his whoopee cushion out of the door.
That's funny already. Anyway, keep going.
So I gave him just a minute, you know, where things were quiet, fans going. All of a sudden... you know, I squashed it together. He jumped out of the bed. So yeah, I actually got him. But actually, this morning, I came downstairs, and he had some of his old stuffed animals sitting around the table. And I started looking. I said, what are they doing? Oh, it's like the dog's playing poker, but he did it with the stuffed animals. Thought it was kind of funny.
I got the kids at Sunday school.
Oh, yeah?
I said, okay, everybody open up your Bibles. We're going to read the story about the road to Emmaus where Jesus is walking along and, you know, two of his friends are there, but they don't recognize him. This is right after the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finally goes with them to the town, et cetera, et cetera. This is from, like, Mark or Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, Julie came up with the chapter. I said, Julie, let's play a trick on the kids. She goes, okay, everybody open up your Bibles to Numbers chapter 1, verse 5. Who wants to read? And this sweet little girl goes, I'll read. And she starts out, these are the tribes and the names of the leaders who will assist you. Tribe leader Reuben Elzer. We picked the worst chapter with the worst names.
Of course.
And she is just dying to this. Son of Shedeur. Simon Shelmiel, son of Zurish, I said, okay, Brianna, enough. The April Fools, that's not the story we're reading. She gave me the dirtiest look.
That's funny.
That was Julie's idea. I just wanted to play a trick on him.
That's
and of course,
good.
There's pizza boxes in the garbage can from who knows when, the night before, or Friday mm-hmm. night or something. So Zach is telling him, hey, we had pizza while you were gone. Yeah, Sunday morning, I'm chowing down on Little Caesars. That's a nice joke.
It's like the kids, you know, they start, my son and some other kids, they got into that age where they start going, hey, Dad, spell I cup.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know. I know this.
Do you do it just to make them laugh?
Yeah. You know what? Hey, I did get my son, though. And I've seen him start. It's funny because I gave him this little joke, and then I see him using it on everybody. And if you're at home or listening, you probably won't be able to tell this, but on the video, I say, can you poke your head through this hole?
Right, because you make a circle with your index finger. Make a circle and thumb.
With your index and your thumb. And can you poke your head through this hole? And kids are like, I don't think so. I say, oh, yeah, you can. And put it against your head and touch it, you know, poke your head. And of course, they're now every time they're like, hey, any adult, can you poke your head through this hole?
Do you think I can poke my head through this hole? Can you stick out your tongue and touch your ear? One of those. No, I didn't say touch your ear with your tongue. Just stick out your tongue and touch your ear.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to give him that one, too.
Bad joke theater.
But what's funny is seeing jokes. I don't know how these things get passed down. They're kind of like folklore, you know. You see these kids...
urban legends.
Yeah, urban legends. You see these kids saying the same jokes you used to when you were at that age, but it wasn't something I told him. So how's he figure this out, you know? Where's it come from? Is it in the genes?
The internet now. Google, jokes my dad used to tell.
Yeah.
Jokes my dad still does tell.
Yeah.
Oh, well, speaking of April Fools and things, you found a whole bunch of great stories for us to talk about.
I was just cataloging them as I was coming through. I did a Google search on Google Plus for April Fools and, of course, found a bunch. And then, you know, Kyle, Mad Marv, he started sending me a few. And I think Tim Elliott sent me a couple. And, you know, I started to end up with this nice little list. But I'm sure there's a few other ones out there. And I've got one at the end that's really a kicker. I thought was probably one of the smarter ones, but we'll get to that in a moment.
Yeah, first one you got up here is from one of our buddies, Jonathan Strickland, from a few years ago, April 1st, 2009, over at How Stuff Works. It's titled, Chew on This, Rechargeable Gum. You know, I can almost hear his voice when you read this, too.
I know it.
I'll never forget the image of Gene Wilder as he threw one of cinema's greatest tantrums at the climax of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Only after little Charlie Bucket hands over his everlasting gobstopper does Wonka relent, revealing that the entire Candy Factory tour was merely a test. Oh, spoiler alert.
I think that one's okay.
He says, Wonka might throw another tantrum today if he had heard about a startup company, Rebubble. They've got a new product, rechargeable chewing gum. Like the Everlasting Gobstopper, this is a candy you can enjoy over and over again without ever having to buy another piece. You can bet Wrigley isn't happy about this. I hear companies preparing Big League Chew for a throwdown. The secret lies in Rebubble's rejuvenation chamber, patent pending. It looks like a cross between a coffin and that big machine the Ugnaughts put Han Solo in when Darth Vader ordered him to be frozen in carbonite. This chamber uses a special recharging station to restore gum to its unchewed state. After it finishes charging, the gum should have the same taste and texture as it did fresh from the package. Packages of Rebubble gum come with three pieces. Rebubble representatives say the plan to offer the gum in five flavors upon release, although currently the only flavor available reportedly tastes like grape with a hint of ozone.
Sorry. Actually, when I first saw the title, it said rechargeable gum, I was thinking you chew it and it like charges your iPod or something.
Yeah, from the energy from your jaw. That's nice.
All right, this next one I found over at ThinkGeek. Now, they always have some of the good ones, you know, some of the good thought out.
Absolutely.
Stuff. And this one was, this is funny. It's the Admiral Akbar fish on a wall, kind of like the Billy Bass.
Yeah. But, it's Admiral Akbar singing bass.
Yeah, you hear, but he's not really quite singing. You hear him sing, doing the Katina theme, and he turns his head and he says, "It's a trap." The video that goes along with
this. There's a video for this. I didn't see the video.
Oh, you didn't?
That's pretty sad.
Yeah, Darth Vader sitting in the garage listening to it, drinking a beer or something.
Spike had Empire Strikes Back on Saturday night.
Oh, really?
So that's always refreshing to see. Yeah, mm-hmm. It never fails to amuse.
Yeah, probably my favorite of the Star Wars movies.
There's a picture on here of Darth Vader sitting in his panel family room, a crappy old Barco lounger
with a TV with a hanger for an antenna.
CRT TV with the hanger antenna.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's the Death Star family room.
Yeah, actually, you know what? That's probably one of those items I would buy if they actually made it. Yeah, I'd hang it on the wall, you know, right back here. You just,
yeah, perfect. Okay,
I got a spot for it right there.
You need the pine paneling thing too.
Yeah. I may go buy a Billy Bass and hack it.
Now, you probably can.
Now, speaking of ThinkGeek, the next one was funny and gross at the same time. It was
the Keurig K-Cup 5-star meals.
Yeah. You remember with the Keurig K-Cups, they make coffee?
Yeah, the little plastic cups you put in, and it makes you a cup of coffee, nice and fresh, lots of flavors, yeah. Very expensive, highly eco, non-friendly.
Speaking of lots of flavors, now you can get corn dog tacos, hot wings, salads, and donuts.
Hey, terrific. I could go Yo Quiero K-Cup tacos. I wonder what would happen if you put Admiral Akbar in there.
That's a trap.
Great, Bass.
It's a trap.
Like the old star, Saturday Night Live Bass-O-Matic.
Yeah. Well, again, go watch the video for this, because there's a guy drinking the hot wings and his lips are like orange to go along with the drink.
Ew.
It's pretty
corn
gross.
Dogs. Whoever thought up the idea of skewering a hot dog, coating it in cornmeal batter, and frying it in hot oil is our hero. Our corn dogs aren't made from 100% all beef dogs. And only they are made from, sorry, and only the sweetest corn. We didn't want to weigh in a ketchup versus mustard battle, so we'll let you garnish as you wish.
Hey, down below in the product specifications, it says brew delicious meals with your single cup coffee machine. And right below it says, scan the QR code on the package and take our survey about the meals. We'll offer 24 packs for the top three flavors starting in June 2012.
Yummy.
Harrison was watching this with me, and as they were brewing, like, I don't know which one it was, the donuts or something, it was like, you know, coming out in some spurts. It's nasty. Nice and chunky.
That's how it comes out too.
Yeah, nice and
after you're done eating it.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was potty humor. Always a favorite.
No. Oh.
Google, I think, had a plethora of them this year.
I know. I wonder if they, each office is allowed to just make something up, you know, and they just kind of do it. Everybody does it disjointly.
I think we should be on that team.
I'd love to.
First up is the YouTube collection. If you watch the video, they have every YouTube video ever made on DVD. And they'll send it to you in a series of, what is it, 117 truckloads?
Yeah. And and if you watch the video, since there's so much video being uploaded to YouTube every hour, they send a DVD out. They have a new shipment.
Once a week, you get another truckload. Yeah. And they're in these compartmentalized boxes. You know, the big box says how to open stuff. You open up that, and inside is how to open milk cartons. And inside that is a box labeled how to open chocolate milk. And there's your DVD. Yeah. Pop in the DVD, and you can watch videos on how to open chocolate milk cartons.
That's too funny. That's too funny. Hey, cats. Oh, look, Bengal tigers. Oh, look.
Yeah. I think 3/4 of that thing would be cats.
Yeah, 3/4 of it. Well, the internet is run by cats.
It is.
Hey, by the way, I'll throw this one since we're talking about cats. Do you use Adblock in your browser?
No.
I use Adblock because I don't want to see any ads. You know, I use it in Chrome. Well, today I noticed, I just happened to see that there's the little stop sign on the toolbar actually has a stop sign, but it has a cat paw in the middle. Well, I didn't think much of it. I thought, oh, they probably updated their browser, their plugin. Well, guess what? Actually, in place of any ads, you see cat pictures. So I go to all kinds of websites and I started seeing little cats jumping and, you know, or doing something stupid. It's kind of funny.
And speaking of cats, Lisa nabbed me while I was doing some scripting. She goes, Dad, I want one of these. You got to look. Kodak had a cat printer, a 3D cat printer. Prints kittens. It says it's the home size, and they had like an old HP inkjet or Kodak inkjet, whatever it was. It was printing mice, and then they had the super size office scale that prints the size of elephants and polar bears for larger animals. But she wanted the kitten printer.
Of course.
And of course her cat was sleeping right next to her, and she goes, "Did you come out of a printer?"
Yes, dear, she did. That's the truth.
That's where cats come from, and that's all you need to know.
Hey, and here's one that I thought you would jump on because I wish you were doing a Gmail podcast.
I'm really sorry I missed this. I would have posted it right on the website.
Gmail is introducing Gmail Tap, where you basically just Morse code to get your emails across. And they had
right. There's just two buttons because nobody likes those soft keyboards on there or the BlackBerry keyboards. Yeah. So you just tap on the touchscreen, a dash or a dot, and they even had a split screen mode where you could do two different texts at the same time.
Yeah, use your fingers. Yeah,
a top one and a bottom one.
Yeah.
And you could tap two. They completely skirted around the fact that you have to learn Morse code. But the marketing on this is brilliant. It actually makes you want to go out and get this product.
Was it me, or did I see the actor Jason Lee in the video?
I can't verify that for you.
I kept looking at the guy. He's got a thick mustache. He looks just like Jason Lee. Was like, wow, they even got celebrities endorsing the Morse code Gmail Tap.
It was funny. They branded it as Gmail Tap because they start out with this kid who says, my great grandfather's grandfather's brother was Samuel Morris. Yeah, it's like he's related to Samuel Morris. So he thought, and he works at Google, so he thought about bringing back Morse code, and everybody was thrilled with it. And it's pretty funny.
It's a great idea. Let's run with it.
What do we got to lose?
I thought, oh man, I wish Chuck had known about this ahead of time.
Yes, did I.
Oh, I did see the Google Street Roo. Apparently,
Google Street Roo.
Yeah, in Australia, apparently they were putting cams on top of kangaroos and adding their images to Street View.
So does one image like at ground level, the next about 12 feet off the ground, and the next,
yeah,
as you're walking along, you're kind of getting this nauseating up and down effect.
Yeah, it was more of a blog post. I didn't see a video or anything to go with it. So, but yeah, I thought it was funny.
Now they have done stuff like this. In fact, Donna found that their Street View actually goes into SeaWorld in Florida partway.
Really? Well,
yeah,
I know
they're not driving the car in there.
No, but I did know. I do know recently they did the Amazon, which you can go pretty much just go. They had a camera, or they had a a hookup, a setup with the GPS and the cameras and everything on a boat, and they took you. They can go do Street View on the Amazon, which is kind of nice.
They're putting that camera on everything, including a NASCAR car.
Yeah. No, this was a little more than just that, Chuck. Did you watch the video on this?
Was it? It was autonomous.
Yeah, you know they're doing the autonomous cars,
right?
Where you can get in and just drive. Well, Google has announced that they have a partnership with NASCAR.
So, and the number on the car is 10^100, yeah. Which is a Google.
Yeah. So.
And on the back of the car says, "I'm driving Lucky."
No, I'm steering Lucky.
I'm steering Lucky. Well, makes it sound like
I followed one of the links. I think it was on the blog post, and there's a video, a very convincing video. Hold on, it's on the blog post, but it's on one of the other links on that site. And you go, and it looks like one of those NASCAR racing shows, like you'd see on ESPN or something, or Fast or whatever. And the guy's talking about a couple of NASCAR related stories really quick, and then he moves on. And today, NASCAR announced a partnership with Google, you know, and he leads into it, and it sounds very convincing. And they go to a couple of interviews with drivers like Jeff Gordon. He says, "Yeah, you know, I've been driving for 20 years and I need a break."
Like a chauffeur. A
couple of drivers like, "Yeah, it really takes the danger out of the whole thing, you know." And so
now,
yeah.
If they put the camera on, they really only have to take pictures of one lap, right?
You move forward, it's not Street View. It's the car is autonomous.
I know. Okay. But I'm just saying, if you put the camera on top.
Yeah, true. That's
forward,
true.
Forward, forward. And then when they get to the starting line, you just reset. Forward, forward.
Yeah. What's funny is in the video, they showed Sergey Brin getting into the car, you know, and he's putting the steering wheel on and everything, but he's driving around. He's got his hands up in the air.
That's funny. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
So they from the top down, they endorse this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I like the April Fool's jokes. Now, they get old after a while, but it's fun to see a few of them. Like that one year they did Google Mars instead of, no, Moon. It was Moon, and then they end up leaving it up, I think, because everybody liked it so much.
Yeah. But. Yeah, Google Moon is up. Google Mars is there.
Mm-hmm.
And not to change topics or sound like small talk, how's the weather?
It's kind of crappy. I'm going to change it.
Change it.
Yeah. Well, I saw today where if you go to search for your hometown or whatever, like I put Rock Hill weather, and you get the weather in the Google search results like
right,
normal.
Right.
But it's a form, and you can actually change.
They've got a drop-down list. This is like
drop-down list.
Sunny,
yeah.
Windy.
Oh, let's change the weather. Yeah, and you can update the weather, and it comes up with a warning. Please notice, after submission, it takes approximately 45 minutes until your weather changes take effect. Notice, exercise caution when setting extremes.
Oh, I should warn you, before the show started, I sent you a hurricane, so be warned.
Thanks. That's what is, yeah.
Tornado is headed your way.
That explains it.
It becomes a little more predictable that way.
Mm-hmm.
It gives the weathermen a little head start.
Yeah.
Probably my favorite is Google Maps 8-bit for NES. They took the Google Maps and they put it on a cartridge, and the cartridge has a modem because they said we've long neglected the NES platform. But when you see this on TV, it looks like one of those old adventure games, and they got the avatar moving through the woods and things.
Yeah,
and it's funny because they put the cartridge in and the TV just blitzes out. It's like.
Yeah, it just, it makes 8-bit sounds to go along with it too.
To fix the program, you take out the cartridge and blow on the cartridge and put it back in. I just about fell out of my chair. That was even the old trick for the Atari 2600.
Yeah, that was a funny trick.
Funny is you can use this today if you go over to Google Maps and hit the quest button up in the corner. And it'll show you around the town. And Mad Marv said in the chat room, go to the street view and you might go blind.
Hey, also Kyle put in there, by the way, he found the Loch Ness Monster in 8-bit view.
Really?
Finally, just some evidence. Little
grainy pixelated thing.
Hey, mystery solved.
That's it. I'm done. Bigfoot's next. I'll bet they have a Bigfoot somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, I like in the video, going back to the demo video that they had, they plotted a trip from, was it Los Angeles to New York? He went,
it's not even, it doesn't even look like it's on roads. It looks like some of those adventure things. Everything is like perfect XY coordinates, straight across for like 150 miles, straight down for 250. Then you go up into all the Canada. Mountains. It's avoiding all everything. That was funny.
That was funny.
Hey, hard to navigate, though.
Huh?
Hard to navigate. I zoomed into streets, and I couldn't even find my own street. I just dragged the little avatar for Street View into the general area. I was off by a block.
I did find my house, but it looked like yellow and green and red blocks.
It looked like beautiful autumn colors at times.
Yeah. Beautiful. I should print it out and just hang it on my wall.
Oh. Someone will say you need new inkjet cartridges there,
home,
buddy.
Sweet home in version. Well, you know, I go to Reddit all the time. Do you go to Reddit?
No, I don't. That's one place I don't go often enough.
Oh, you should. Well, today on Reddit, they actually have a time machine. And they have, when you go to Reddit, it says Reddit, timeline. But if you go, you can hit the little arrows back and go all the way to, it goes 400 BC, 800 BC, late Stone Age, late Cretaceous. And then the very end of the timeline.
Cretaceous.
At the very end of the timeline, at the beginning, it says "Hello World." But when you go to each one of these, it shows posts on Reddit as they would have appeared. It's like the "Hello World," and it says, "Did anybody else notice this guy during the explosion?" And it has like the spaghetti monster while the Big Bang's going on, all this kind of stuff. It said, oh, I let my six-year-old sister play with the existence creator, and look what she made. And it's like the universe, you know, coming out.
Existence creator. Yeah.
But here, anyway, we go down. We got year zero, all right? And it has, like, you see a picture from or all kinds of pictures. There's a introducing guy named Jesus. And there's like, you have to come in here and see. There's a bunch of stuff. Well, anyway, you go to the very end of the timeline. And it goes from, 1955, 1960s, 70s, 80s, 90s, yesterday, the present, tomorrow, 2013, 2015. Of course, there's a lot of Back to the Future stuff in the 2015 with the shoes. Look at the shoes I bought. Yeah. Goes all the way down 3,000, 9,000, 42,000 AD. And the last one is end of time. Well, when you go to the end of time, there's a bunch of posts about the universe is ending, and there's the TARDIS in the background.
Of course.
Yeah. One guy says, oh, look, my post made it to the front page of Reddit just in time. Yeah. End of the world. Oh, yeah, and here's Fry says, what do you guys say we grab a six-pack and watch the end of the universe?
Anyway. You can't get to the end of the universe.
They did. Did you not watch that episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a cartoon, Craig.
Oh. Really?
It's not real.
I beg to differ.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
How do you know? Were you there?
How do I know?
Were you there?
I watched the Science Channel.
You watched the Science Channel. Anyway, I
suggest
you go. Stayed
in a Holiday Inn Express in August.
Yeah, well, I suggest you go check out the Reddit timeline. It's pretty cool.
That's funny. You know what it just baffles me is people get paid to do these things.
I know. Why don't they pay me? I'll do it.
Somebody at Google got paid to make an 8-bit version of maps. How's that for justice?
They were using their 20% project time.
Somebody at Google got paid to make a commercial about Gmail Tap. Somebody got paid to make an application so they could do the video for Gmail Tap.
Well, you know, people get paid millions of dollars to play basketball, but...
But not us.
Yeah. Well, the next thing, well, you know, I love April Fool's jokes that are smart. Okay. That's my thing. I like smart ones. You know, the dumb ones, there's a dime a dozen, right?
Right.
Well, you know, what's his name? Randall Monroe. He's the guy the guy that writes XKCD.
Okay.
Well, I think he kind of gets the prize. And Kyle kind of pointed me over there earlier. If you go to xkcd.com,
yeah,
everyone gets a little different comic. based on your browser, your location, and I'm sure some other things, even window size, your screen size. Like I've got this big monitor now. It's a 22-inch widescreen.
Yeah.
And the comic was totally different than it was on my iPad or on my wife's computer. Like, the screen's really wide, right? So I only see part of the comic. And it says, I found this snake, but then I forgot to stop. It's like, what? And it's the girl holding the end of the snake, showing the guy. But then I do full screen on the browser. Then I see the whole comic, and which I couldn't see before. And there's like, you know, all kinds of stuff going on that along that snake. And she's holding his head on the other end. It's kind of fun.
Oh, okay. So, I got Umwelt.
Yeah, Umwelt. What do you see on there?
It says, you come across a tortoise in the desert. You flip it over. It struggles to right itself. You watch. You're not helping. Why is that? So it's this man sitting at a desk with another one hooked up to like an encephalograph, you know, the stickers on the wires on your brain, on your head. And the man responds, it knows what I did. And then in the last frame, they're just sitting there, nothing happening.
You see, I got a different one to open it in Firefox. Because apparently there's a solar storm causing northern lights over Canada. CNN says they may even be visible as far south as us. Want to drive out and see? It's cold out. Okay, later. And then there you see the northern lights as a almost like a photo image there. See anything? No, just clouds. Not surprised.
It's Canada.
But anyway, everybody was getting different ones. I even have one. It said, what's that shaking? And the girl says, I'm not doing anything. He says, oh, it must be an earthquake. And she says, she's from California. It's not a big a deal. And then says, month later, they're standing around and it's a hurricane. And she's like, oh my God, this is terrible. And he goes, it's not that bad. Get it?
Go to Google Weather and change it.
Yeah, because of South Carolina tornado or hurricanes.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, it was based on my location, which was kind of neat. Anyway, that was the smartest one I saw.
Pretty creative stuff over there.
Well, I'll tell you. The Umwelt, what he was standing for, Umwelt is the idea that because their senses pick up on different things, different animals in the same ecosystem actually live in different worlds. Whoops. Everything about you shapes your world and you inhabit. From your ideology, your glasses prescription, to your browser window size. And I was like, well, that's actually kind of smart. You know, so depending on all these different factors, you get different cartoons.
Cool.
Yeah, very cool.
That's actually a pretty intelligent way of doing it, better than the ads that some sites come out with.
I don't know, but I like cats.
I'll get you a cat printer.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, that's about it.
Okay. Half hour's worth of stuff.
World. That's, hey, actually, Tim referring, I guess he's referring to the Reddit thing where at the beginning it said hello world, and at the end it said, it was, you know, I was talking about the TARDIS at the end of the world, and he said it's goodbye world.
Mine would be end of transmission.
Yeah.
Of course, that sounds more like a 72 Chevy.
Ba-doom-tsh. Oh, well. Now, that's about it for me.
Did you do the end of the show stuff?
Yeah, go ahead.
You want to edit this up? I am still recording, right? Right.
Oh, Kyle fell asleep.
So we have no media corner hacks and strange stories, remember when or what the chalk, but hey, it's Technorama. You never know what to expect. And this was totally unexpected for us as well. Hope you appreciate the show. We know we appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. You can call us on the listener line, 206-222-2428. That's 206-222-CHAT in the United States. Or you can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. It's been a long time. Some of you, it has been longer than others. And appreciate those who showed up on the you. Google Plus Hangout. Yeah, you, and you, and you, and you. Don't be hiding over there. We're looking at you, too. It's a party. Everybody's invited. You invited us, so we're going to single you out. Or you can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. Visit the website for all that other stuff. What else? Mars has been posting on the blog. Thank you very much for all the great blog content. And everyone who sent us links during the week, we got a lot of them this week. Probably most of them are April Fool's related, but we'll keep working those in and we'll do them next week. No, that wouldn't have the same impact, would it?
No.
But keep your eyes open on the feed for our April Fool's joke. That won't be on April Fool's. It'll be some other time when you're least expecting. But you'll know it as soon as you hear it. And you'll want to listen to it start to finish. I promise you, it's there. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. Also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at Farpoint Media, farpointmedia.com. Oh, I am heading out there. We won't be having a show recorded Easter night weekend. What is that, the 8th? So there's no show on the 11th? No. Yeah, 11th. Because I'll be out of town that week.
Okay.
So we'll see what we can do. But I will be trying to meet up with Evo and his wife Sheila, and they're apparently going to a reading in the Phoenix area. Apparently Scott Sigler is going to be out there, so might have a hookup with all these people. Kind of an odd alignment of the stars, but I'll be on vacation. Sigler will be hawking his books, and Evo and Sheila will probably just be
hawking. Some things never change.
That's right. And then we'll all head over to the Whole Foods store.
Yeah, yeah.
Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama, and as always, a binary high five.
404. Oh, wait, April Fool's. 101.